Let's go to 1 Samuel. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. 1 and 2 Samuel.
Where are we going?
1 Samuel, chapter 17. This is where David battles Goliath with a stone. In the Old Testament, there was a race of people that there were a couple of tribes that were, they were the giants. And what possible purpose could the giants serve as a parable? When they were going to go into the Promised Land, they sent the spies in, and they sent 12 spies, one from each tribe, and 10 of the spies gave the false report. The giants are too big, will be consumed. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Let us go up, for they shall be meat for us. They shall be our food." And the same thing happens in you. Each person that has ever been born has a race of giants in their mind. They are problems or situations or issues that they think cannot be solved. And so when we go into the Promised Land, we get to the edge, but we don't go into the Promised Land. We stay the same as Israel did. They stayed for 39 years. They didn't wander for 40 years. They wandered for 1 year, and then they camped out in Kadesh Barnea on the edge of the Promised Land for 39 years. Because they should have left Egypt on Passover, received the law on Pentecost, and entered the promise on Tabernacles, entered Jerusalem on Tabernacles. That's if everything would have gone right. But because of the fear of the giants, they spent 39 years camped out in Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea just means a sanctuary in the wilderness. They had to end up camping out there until every one of the people that had left Egypt died, except for Joshua and Caleb. Now, Joshua is a type of Christ. Caleb is the best that man can be, the friend of the bridegroom. The same issues here. Most those people that ever get out of Egypt and finally maybe see the law, and then finally maybe they're still camping out waiting for the giants to get taken care of. Now, what are these giants? I don't think I have to tell you, because each one of you are battling your own private giants. And so it's critical that you understand this issue between David, who is the type of Christ, and this, who was the weakest member of his family. He was the last one anyone would choose, the same as all the other parables in the Scriptures. And now David, he kills this giant, but he kills him with a particular thing, and let's look at it.
Let me say, I had a moment about this much time where it was like that, and I saw just real clear that me am the giant, not I am, but me am the giant, because I think I'm big. That's where my battle is.
Now, It is so important that you see that these things that have kept you from faith, it's like, How many times, how many thousand times have you traded faith for fear? Have you traded faith for, you know, a pot of red beans or something, whatever your little peccadillo is at the time? So let's look. Let's start with Goliath is challenging David all through the 1 Samuel at the beginning. And then David said in verse 32, "Let no man's heart fail because of the giant." And then it goes down. In verse 41, "And the Philistine came on and drew near David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, he considered him lightly. For he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance, and looked like a little girly man. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Now, all the earth has to know that there is a God in you. But the primary earth that has to know it are these giants in the land, the inhabitants of your high places. Because no more is the fight external. Everybody know? We're not warring against anybody. Right? Except me. I mean, most of you think you're warring against me at one time or another.
I know when I've always read this story, I identify with David, because that's a hero guy right now.
You're the Philistine. In fact, you're more than one.
Yeah, I'm a crowd of two.
You're a
giant, and I got a bunch behind me.
And you've got, and you're a horse, and you've got all those horses you want to let out of the stable. On and on when we get to the rest of the book of Revelation. Is this interesting, anybody? What are you thinking?
I was thinking about that horse farm down there in Tulsa.
That's good, because there were no horses allowed in Israel. But I don't think it really had anything to do with you liking to be. Anyway. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." He ran toward him. He didn't wait for him. "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David." Now, we could go on and on. He cuts a giant's head off in the same way that Christ in his John the Baptist had to have his head cut off before the ministry of Christ could manifest. And just as you must cut off the head, your head, by abandoning yourself, by taking no thought for yourself, by taking no thought for tomorrow, you cut off the head so that the head is now Christ and not you. And that must be true for everyone that names his name. But the first priority is, the stone that followed Israel forever is Christ. And it's Christ that will slay that dragon and cause his head to be as if it were cut off. Now, you've got to see this. And it's so difficult because everything about you has been you for your whole life. Now, you still, even after all the stuff that we've talked about, you know, you still believe that you have free will. You're going to choose. You know, you hear, go to Joshua real quick. It's just a few pages back to the left. Yeah. Yeah. Joshua 24, I think. I've heard this over and over and over and over again from preachers, from telephones. We're gonna unplug that sucker.
Hello.
That forever.
No, hold on.
Espanol. Tell him to call back. Now I'm talking to Pete.
What do you want, darling? Can we talk later?
Darling.
Where are you stranded? And we'll pick you up,
Kate. Who's got me?
Okay, across from the Texaco.
Our Darlene?
All right.
Our Darlene?
Our Darlene is stranded up there. She needs some.
I thought you said that she spoke Spanish.
She's going beep, beep. Nice try. So you get to
All right. Okay, we'll do it quickly here.
Beep, beep.
Somebody put bad acid in milk or something.
Verse 13 of Joshua 24. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat? Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, or not, you know, if it's conflicts or whatever. But anyway, this is the part. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, and which did great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Now, everybody I've ever heard preach on this stops before you get to verse 19. Choose this day who you will serve. Isn't, is it, isn't it becoming abundantly clear that you cannot serve Him? For He is holy. The only one that can serve Him is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that's why your death is required, and that is meaningless unless you have come to the end of yourself in every dimension of your life. You cannot serve the Lord, for He is holy.
That was pictured in every sacrifice all the way to Christ.
And even a couple verses before, see, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord, but He's a picture of Christ.
If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after all that He hath done unto you all the good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord of Israel, the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us, and it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Now what is that stone of witness? A stone that's a witness against you. It's the same stone that killed Goliath. It's the same stone that followed Israel throughout all their journeyings. And it's the same stone that is your ever-present basis, your foundation for that stone is Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. I'll show you, because I don't want to make you think I made that up. Moreover, brethren, I would that you should... I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust or desire after evil things as they also lust. They're not. An evil thing to God is anything other than Him. So I just wanted to cement that stone right between your eyes in the middle of your forehead so that you can see that you're giants. Have been defeated. Amen? Now we're going to see, if the Lord tarries, we're going to see the next time we meet about how often this forehead business is a part of the book of Revelation and what it means. Because remember, the book of Revelation is the book, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So by definition, it is over all of time. It's always true, whether it was with Adam or with us. we haven't even started yet. Anybody else?
I was just thinking that there's all these examples where the situation is an impossible situation. That there's no, if you add two and two together, you don't have enough to solve the problem or win the war. Like taking the smallest kid in the flock and having hit the guy in the head with a rock, or using hornets to drive out the tribes, parting the sea, and then using the sea to kill the Egyptians. It's all these situations where it's not the strength of Israel. It's not anything you can figure out and do. It's just sit there and watch what happens.
The real sin of the church is this idea that crept in somewhere that God is going to use your talents for His glory. I mean, it's easy to see in movie stars or the sports figures that come and they become the little trophies that run around. But it's not going to happen. So the giants reign. Not only do they reign, they are worshipped as trophies. I mean, all of the things that your mind would naturally want, success, celebrity, good looks, wealth, whatever it is, talent, everything that you would naturally want is pictured in these celebrity endorsements of Christ. They're giving, they're putting their imprimatur on Jesus and said he's an okay guy. And yet, every single one of those is trying to make the people acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, to the God of this world. That's why, without understanding the law, you'd never know that, because it's just natural to think, my God, look, we have Deion Sanders came to our church. We must be really good. We had Miss America come here. She lasted about 2 days until I offended her. But the point of it is that it's in our weakness. His strength is revealed. So never wish for something and never hope for something that other people have. I mean, we really are the offscouring of the world.
We're consumed with dying, and in dying we live, not by our own strength or hand or talent, but by what God chooses to bring forth.
Anybody else? Can you quit trying to be normal?
Who, me?
All righty, take a big guy.